Drug Company, makers of Bromo-Seltzer, invite you through the creaking door into the inner sanctum for a special transcribed Christmas story starring Frank Sinatra. Bromo-Seltzer reminds you to... Good evening, friends of the creaking door. This is your host to welcome you into the inner sanctum. Come in. Come on. It's Christmas. And since traditionally in this season, not a creature stirs, not even a mouse, we silence our government and creatures too for this thing. In story conference, we ask our writer to devise, and I quote, a play in which people are touched in the heart and not in the head. A story as mellow and sentimental as the season's greeting card. Tonight's story, then, is our season's greeting card to you. The Enchanted Book. The Yuletide miracle story of Christianity. Played by Frank Sinatra is the story of a tough guy who came to believe in Christmas ghosts with magical power. But let's hear Chris's own version of it. Go ahead, laugh if you like. Sure, only kids and old ladies believe in ghosts. That's what I thought, too. Until I met a chubby little guy with hair like cotton candy who called himself Sir Benjamin. At first, let me fill in the details after my meeting with Benjamin. I was in one of those free each missions, a short trip along Chicago's Skid Row. The sign, come one, come all, hadn't pulled me in. Flanagan had. Flanagan was a parole officer prowling the south side to hand me a merry set of bracelets for Christmas when he caught me. I had the mission all to myself, except for a skinny young punk hacking out a cough that made the benches jump. His face looked like he was already dead. And in between the coughs, he opened two square little boxes with Christmas designs on them and stared into them. Hey, kid, you're sick.
I know.
You need a doctor.
I've had a doctor. I wanted to go home for Christmas once. For all the years, I didn't care.
Those boxes you're holding, who do you mean them for?
My money. Well, old lady. And Linda. My kid sister, Linda. She likes it.
Maybe for what?
That's just for my mother. Didn't come to play.
What's in the other box?
Doctor. Found set. I promised Linda I'd buy her some. But some... Someday.
Oh, kid, get a hold of yourself.
I don't know. If you could get them here, must it be something for me? Sarah, Tommy.
Kid, get hold. The coughing stopped for a longer time, and his eyes fixed wide as if what he was looking at was no longer in the room. It was right then that Sir Benjamin, the chubby little ghost with hair like cotton candy, had. The first I knew of him was music, as if he was announcing himself. Music coming from an upright piano on a platform way down the mission hall. But look, until my eyes popped out of my head, I couldn't see anybody playing. The piano was going, but nobody I could see was playing. I went up to the piano and reached over the stool to see how the trick was hit. My head touched something solid, like somebody sitting on the stool. And then I saw fingers and hands skipping along the keys. Only hands, as if they had a life of their own.
Don't stay
quiet, Mr. West. I'm seeing things, and now I'm hearing voices.
My voice, West. You're hearing me.
Where are you?
I'm right here, my boy. You touched me before, very roughly. I'm afraid I have a bruise in your hand, pal. Well, it's one of the whips with my business, I suppose.
Look. Whoever you are, in another minute, I'm going to let go and scream and blow my top.
Oh, no, don't, please. just a piece and I'll rematerialize. It takes a moment or two.
Oh. I saw the hands, too. First arms, and then elbows, and shoulders, and the torso. Slowly, like some artist was sketching in front of me. And then the last thing, the head, the little tops of iron gray hair, and a face, a chubby face, rosy and smiling.
Who are you? Well, Benjamin, I'm sorry if I worried you.
That's it, that optical illusion. Here you were, like you were invisible.
I was invisible.
You trying to tell me you've got powers of invisibility?
That's only one of my powers. I suppose we get right on the business, Rose.
We have business?
Oh, of course. I've got all of them around the front. Tommy's in it.
Oh, that's it. Honest to God. He's running like he's dead. I don't care if we're outside, but somebody's got to call an ambulance to do something.
No, it's too late for the boy. Tommy has left us. What are you going to do about his dying wish?
Dying wish? Oh, you mean saying that those items were delivered to a pizza?
Yeah, those were items. Delivered in price. What are you going to do?
Nothing. I'm going to do nothing. It's none of my business. I've got problems of my own.
Lonergan, the civil officer.
Now, where did you pick that? Who you got? Powers of divination, too?
Oh, I'm a very versatile and talented coach. I also have powers of conjuration.
What do you mean, powers of conjuration?
You come with those dying wishes out and I'll conjure up Flanagan. Oh, you don't think I can, huh?
I think it's me that's got the powers of conjuration. I don't think you even exist. How about that? I think I'm dreaming you up.
Well, I will demonstrate. Now, hold on to something, Chris. Conjuration is very characteristic and generally expensive. It will definitely be safe as well. Hold on a second.
Don't ask me why, but I grabbed a hold of the piano and then coiled right under it. It's a good thing I broke because the drummer was going to rock up an earthquake. The punches were going to be out. The bangles were going to topple over.
Quit it, will you? Quit it, the sun's falling apart. Quit it, quit it.
Angela, I know you got to be in the drive. Angela,
a light in time of evening. Some repeat it. Then pick his hat back, look up at the high building walls, and slap his head and give up.
Well,
bro,
Mother. Mother? This is safe. Welcome home, Chief.
Oh, thanks. How's Stacy got here, Mrs. Simmons?
I'm glad you like it. Very glad.
I don't know exactly how to get it said, Mrs. Simmons. Well, I'm a mub. I quit school the minute I learned how to tell a piece.
Tell a piece of that, so I haven't got the right words.
You don't have to have the right words, Chief. You don't even have to get it said. This is so nice.
You know, my friend,
about Tom.
Somebody had you on the telephone. Is that how it was?
Yes. Somebody telephoned me.
The last thing Tommy thought about was you and Linda and coming home for Christmas. He asked me to give you this. It's gold watch for you, Mr. For this for you, Linda. This package. Not much, maybe, but Tommy didn't have much to give. But it was for him.
You're wrong, sir. Tommy has more to give him. In his days, he gave it.
You're talking all over my head, then.
A guest in the house. A girl comes home. Mama should have come home himself, but he can see me, I think.
You say this about me, that I was born in 1925, and I stopped crying in 1926 at the ripe old age of one. You can also say about me that I let a kid go on and never knew I had. Christmas 1949. Linda.
Yes, sir.
It's quite a place you got here, and it's got a feel of home, all right.
But,
sir. Now, don't get me wrong about what I'm going to say, Linda. It's not kind of being poor. It's Christmas, but I don't see no tree, and I've been slipping close enough to the kitchen to know that there's nothing worse than the mud on them. No, it's just an idea playing over my head.
An idea?
Yeah, maybe this set up me
for
me and
Anne. Is it
all right if I
saw
a dog in our side?
All right. Of course it's all right.
You can also put me down as a guy who never knows when to shut up. A fool, a fool. Sure, nothing fool. That's so much sister and the magician. There's your fool, and there's your boy. I was wondering when you'd show up and get it. You are here, Sir Benjamin.
Well, but in the corner, I'm saying, don't ask me to roll the corner out, Chief. I don't understand my face in Bethlehem.
Yeah. Sure, I wasn't digging the dog. Well, here you're killing me.
Didn't move it.
What about in the yard behind the mission? You walked right past me.
You put a flashlight on me, but you couldn't see me. How about that, huh?
I don't do that. Maybe I didn't see you because I didn't want to see you. Oh, what? I didn't want to talk to you. I had to make noises today. I didn't want to make you again. Not anxious. Well, you're making me a rough man. Maybe I'm not. Why'd you call me all the way here? You look rusty. You really had a heart for him, but I'm saying. Well, you're bringing the thing to see and see.
Oh, how do you know about this thing?
I knew it was going to be a gift to Mrs. Bowman. I phoned Mrs. Bowman to remember that she was coming.
Oh, it was you who phoned.
Yes.
So I talked to that.
Well, what? I don't know. I'll ask you one question, and maybe I'll leave. Think carefully, for you. If I arrange for you to keep in touch with the parole office by mail, providing the letters you post my desk office, would you like it?
Would I? Flanagan, where else does a guy want to write letters from that home?